Well, brothers and sisters, let's get back into James. And tonight, in that second chapter, beginning there in the 14th verse, this is kind of like we're getting into the juicy section. And I've always found it, by God's grace, when he really revealed the simplicity of this book to my heart, I've always felt the juice was truly the truth in love, and not what the juice of a lot of people like to make it. But I pray and have been just asking the Lord that as we go through this evening, and if the Lord tarry, that there would be no more treading lightly through this book, that we'd be bold, that we wouldn't try to steer around something, that by the grace of God we would know the Scriptures and be thankful for this book of truth and love, that it is the Word of God and such a vital, well, all the Word of God is so vital, but vital for the readying of bridal saints. So we're so grateful to that. But as we get into this, and we'll get right at it, I am encouraged of the Lord to put us in remembrance the paramount way that we study Scripture. And the paramount way that we study Scripture is we, by grace and by the Spirit, rightfully divide the Word of God. And the word rightfully divide in the Greek means to proceed on straight paths. Straight paths. Not veering to the left or to the right, but straight paths. And the beautiful thing about that that just immediately hits my heart when I think of anything straight in the Word of God, I love to think of those four living ones in Ezekiel chapter 1. Their feet were straight. They always walked in exact unison, perfect harmony, because they were walking in spirit. And by God's grace, the manifestation of Christ Jesus in these four living ones, which we know and the Word of God has revealed to us, that we see them again there in a Revelation, and we know that they are that company that makes up the bride that is seen in the midst of the throne. So, straight paths. Teach it directly and correctly as the Spirit reveals it. And as the Lord has encouraged my heart over the years to proclaim this, and he began proclaiming that through me in my little class that I used to have with the teenagers, know who's speaking, know who's being spoken to, and know what's being spoken about. It's so vitally important in rightfully dividing the word of truth. You cannot just pick out a scripture here or there and then just start interpreting that scripture. We must understand it in context with what's being spoken about, who's being spoken to, and who's speaking. Those all are great things in the Word of God and have great meaning. But moreover than everything, the Spirit has to reveal it to us. And in this text that we're going to begin in tonight, so many have abused this. By wanting to satisfy their flesh. See, the enemy showed us that long time back when he was trying to tempt the Lord, wasn't he? Using Scripture completely out of context. And again, as we approach the same adversary in our lives, we approach him the same way. It is written. And it is written is rightfully divided written. And Christ Jesus would come back, obviously. What are you going to challenge the word? Well, Satan is awfully stupid. But God was showing us how powerful Christ in us is. And see, that's the thing. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in his children. That same power. And praise be to God, as he went up on high, he sent us the very power of his might. That as we yield to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and as we continue to yield on to be full of the Holy Ghost, my goodness, what power we have. And it's not us, but again, it's just that Christ in us. The power to believe. But those that want to satisfy flesh have abused this. I've seen it abused to puff up their own flesh. I've seen it abused to try to condemn others, trying to judge others. And no matter how you try to cut it, when you try to abuse the Word of God, and especially in this portion of Scripture, I just believe they're just wallowing in the dung of their dirty self-righteousness. And you did hear that right, wallowing in the dung. It is a wonderful visual. And I think you need to grasp it, because it's exactly what you're doing when you try to put your dirty self-righteousness into any part of God's word. So as we go into this, let's just really receive the grace of God, receive the Spirit as He will bring this to our hearts. But to lay it to rest, the Lord has had me want to quote Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll go on and quote Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, in context, it is exactly what it says. We are saved by grace through faith. And there is nothing working there except the blood of Jesus. That's the work. Praise be to God. And that's a finished work. One time, once and for all, He offered that wonderful life, sin and death destroyed, and praise be to God, we have the victory in Christ Jesus. Now, as we get into this tonight, some have tried to go back and say, well, this contradicts much of the verses in Romans that Paul was used of the Holy Spirit to be the vessel to write it. But as we know, and as we rightfully divide the Word of God, Paul's Romans, brothers and sisters, was written, and I should say, I want to say this correctly, but as it is written, it begins in testifying to unbelievers. It does. It's written at first to the unbeliever, those that have not accepted Christ Jesus as Savior. And then it progresses them through from condemnation to justification to sanctification and, praise be to God, finally glorification. Whereas the letter of James is written to those who are already saved. Very important that we see these things, that God, again, in rightfully dividing the Word of God, we know who is being spoken to. Now, Brother Copley says it like this. Paul sees us justified before God, and James is encouraged in the Spirit to encourage us to be justified before men. And this is the testimony that we've been rejoicing in and talking about, and especially the bridal testimony. There is a wonderful work of love that is evident in the life of the readied wife. Love cannot be stopped. You can't stop it. Even natural love, as we've seen, it has a very fervent spirit about it. But how much more divine love? Come on, let's think of even these disciples. Every one of them a chicken. Every one of them, when Christ was ready to be crucified, they couldn't be found. Women, I commend you. You were the only ones around the cross at the time. They were gone. Peter, the big bold guy, even three times. I don't know who he is. I'm not with him.
Dude.
You see? But then love came in. And the one who takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in their hearts, and every single one of them died a martyr. Isn't that amazing? See, love does change things. And love changes us. And love changes our desires. And love changes countenance. Everything about us. And this book of James is, again, it's just a letter of love. Just like all the rest of the Word of God. And it's encouraging through love to let love work in us, to evidence the working of love, of the faith, because faith which worketh by love, it brings out that faith that shows that we do love the Lord. It manifests itself in the good works, praise God, that He has before ordained. That's the beautiful thing about this. But this precious book of James is all about the testimony of Jesus Christ in us. The precious faith that worketh by love, producing the evidence of faith in us, brothers and sisters. And remember this rightfully divided approach. I believe it's so vitally important. Obviously, it's the Word of God. But James, in its glorious light, will thrill your soul just like all of the other words of the Lord. All of the dots will be completely perfectly connected with his truth and love, but without rightfully dividing the word of truth, we will continue to be bogged down. We will be confused. A lot of times we'll be in guilt, condemnation, tongue-tied, judgment, all the weights and snares that hinder the runner. So know that. I mean, just know it. But as we get this truth, and as the line upon line and precept upon precept are built in our life, always remember it's truth in love. It's truth in love. And this is what we're going to read about tonight, is that wonderful love that just makes and magnifies what that word and the truth is. But if you really think about it, the truth is love anyway. So it's amazing how we try to separate the two, but it is truth in love. So let's go ahead and start reading from chapter 2, verse 14. And we'll read 14 through 17 to begin. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And I'll translate that for you. I appreciate the ones that have gone before that have translated it like this. Dead faith is no faith. Listen to that. Dead faith is no faith. I've often dealt with people about this, and I'm talking about people that even have a head knowledge or a knowledge of this bridal message. And ones that have challenged often, that think that somehow they can go hold themselves up in their homes and refuse to fellowship with saints. Or ones that truly express a love for the bridal message, but most of their fellowship, when it could be around saints of like precious faith, that is like a very rare occurrence. And yet they'll go and fellowship with meetings and things of that nature. I'm thankful for anyone who knows the truth, that loves the Lord, but I'm talking about where they don't rejoice in the bridal message of Jesus Christ. And that's where they spend most of their time. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to proclaim the wife has a glorious testimony. It's just what it is. The testimony is the love of God. Her heart is drawn to fellowship of like precious faith saints. It just is. She wants to be around the bride. She wants to be around the body, or part of the body that will be the body of the head that that person's going to marry. I'm so thankful as the Lord encouraged my heart one night here. And it wasn't too long ago where it truly was, son, if you really intend to marry me, you will love my body as much as you love my head. It's an entire package. And I've said it in many different ways that I could, but, you know, I didn't. I was teasing my wife one night at the house, and I got a slug for it. But I said, I didn't marry you for your brains, honey. See, you know, I'm just teasing. She's a very smart lady. Don't get me wrong. But it was a pun. I'm in trouble now. I shouldn't have said that with you all. But what I was getting at was just her head. You understand what I'm saying? It was the whole package. I wanted everything, every bit about her was lovable in that way. I was, and still am, by God's grace, in love and deeply in love. So thanks be to God. Boy, whew, what a hole. Got down so deep, I didn't see any light, did I now? My goodness, let's start over. But I'm glad I'm around family. You know, if you need to pray for me. But in that, I'm sure the Holy Spirit will take that and at least somehow make a connection for you. Praise God. But she's compassionate. I'm grateful to the Lord. I was thinking as this well, too. She's so compassionate in this place. Dear brother McLam has to run people out of the church here sometimes. He's got to get to bed, too. But that's how they love to fellowship. I'm grateful. I'm thankful that we love to be with one another. One of the sweetest things that the Lord puts on my heart often as I come out to speak is just hearing the fellowship, the laughter. I mean, some of you laugh real loud. I know who that is. You know, just kind of yuck, you know. But see, that's beautiful to me. It really is, because it just sings praises to the Lord that this, the family of God. And, you know, we're not here but for anything else. And I do know, but to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And aren't we thankful that we're happy in Jesus? That we don't come in here with, you know, just these long faces. I know sometimes we do. I know sometimes we hurt. But more often than not, we may have been long-faced outside, but we come in here and there's an infectious love. And it's like the infectious chill that I just get in my body right now, thinking again of how privileged we are to be around people that love the Lord and divinely love the Lord. But in that, brothers and sisters, she's compassionate. And I'll hurry along a little bit. But in John chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Now, this is another way that 1 John brings this to light of what James is getting at here a little bit. Now, I do want to emphasize, though, brothers and sisters, there's ones that'll run with this. And again, run with this in flesh. This is not about feeding all the hungry of this world. Know this. Please know this. What the Lord is speaking of here is having a heart that is directed of the Lord. And this is specifically as we read His Word for brothers and sisters in Christ. I would hope that we would have compassion, and we should, upon all fellow man, everyone. As we've said many times in here lately, God help us to see souls. Your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died for that wicked soul, died for your wicked soul before it knew the Lord as Christ and as my personal Savior and as your personal Savior. But in that, brothers and sisters, we know that this is specifically talking about looking at the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the greatest need of the brother and sister in Christ still is the Word of God. It's to show compassion in giving out, first and foremost, the bread of life, a cold cup of water. Now, that's not just the excuse to say, well, I'm going to give you the word, but I'm not going to help you anymore, when the Lord has given me means to be able to help you. And more importantly, He's encouraging my heart to help you. Oftentimes we heard from the pulpit, and I do believe this, there's some people that will be so giving, they begin to give in themselves. And as Brother Hill used to say many times, often giving $1 million to someone would be like giving a little open razor blade to a baby. And we know that, a loaded gun to a child. As graphic and as awful as that is, you know what? I found out that the Spirit led that dear brother to emphasize things so with such gravity, because you know what? We're hard-headed, and sometimes we fall asleep, and we need these things to wake us up to say, this is important. This does get that point across. That's a horrible visual, but you know what? I get it. It could be harmful to me. That's something that I have no need of. But again, getting back to this, this is when the Lord is moving us, when we have the means to go ahead and help. And God is encouraging us to help someone. But again, I go back to Brother Paul. I think of the example of following Christ as following Paul as he followed Christ. When he didn't have a thing and actually wanted a coat because he was so cold, he even said, no, don't bring me the coat. Bring me the Word of God. Bring me the Word of God. Come and minister to me. And brothers and sisters, I would hope that when we do have a need, and God knows every need that we have, but we truly learn to ask the Father. And most importantly, Father, just feed me the Word of God. Teach me all of the wealth in this experience. Teach me to be patient. Teach me to, again, learn the experience in this. To have wisdom that will be profitable to me. But as this goes on, brothers and sisters, we understand that when the Lord moves us to assist and care with natural things, that we would see the need of our brother and sister in Christ. And Brother Paul is in absolute spiritual agreement with this as well. And not that we look to Paul, but we know that that was a chosen vessel. He is the chosen vessel unto God that brought forth this wonderful message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And in Galatians and Ephesians, he makes it very clear to remember our brothers and sisters in Christ that have need. So I think we've said enough about that. Let's go on. From the 18th verse. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devil also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Now this is so wonderful. And the Holy Spirit led the Apostle John in 1 John 3:18 to say it like this. My children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So here we are, faith. And true faith always has a work. And true faith's work is always love. It's always love. It never magnifies self. It always magnifies Him. And so many times I'm grateful to the Lord that this magnificent faith that is so evident to others, this wonderful love, when you really are honest with yourself, you know that you could have never done that. You know that that was not of you whatsoever. I would have just blown you off. I would have said, well, you know better. I'm out of here. This was a waste of time. Come on. You know, we know these things. But not where, oh, I've got to do the right thing in a guilt complex. I'm talking about when I can't help but do it. I just can't help but it. I don't even feel like doing it. But you know what? There's something that's just bringing me into church here today. And I've got to show up because there is just a burning in my heart that the Lord has placed there. These are things, brothers and sisters. This is the supernatural because that's the beautiful thing about the Lord. If we really are honest with ourselves and we watch how the Lord works in us, that's the greatest miracle there is. Because you know you. You do. You know a lot about you. Now, He knows you even better, but you know how wicked you are in a lot of different ways. You know all your shortcomings. You know what is the buttons that you hope nobody else ever finds to push. Lord exposes them. They're going to be exposed, and they're going to be pushed all over the place if you're going to go on with God. But He is going to show Himself faithful. And He's going to put you in situations and in predicaments and with things and people that you dearly love. That bug you, bother you, all of these different things. And yet, God's going to show His faithfulness to give you a patience. And not just an endure, well, I'll grip my teeth and just endure you. No. I'm talking about loving. That I'm sitting here and I'm going, oh my gosh, this is an out-of-body experience. I got to, you know, am I dreaming? But it's the truth. Lord, this is Christ in me. Because I know that. Ain't the old rotten guy that I know so well. This is you. Praise be to God. I love James. It's becoming more real to my heart. And how sincere we can be with the Lord. It just brings things out of who and what we are apart from God. But see, the evidence of faith in our lives to others and to God is His work of love in us. It's not something that we conjure up, but it's the working of grace producing godly works. If we dwell in love, brothers and sisters, there will be a testimony and an outpouring of the love of God in us. Out of our bellies flows that rivers of living waters. It's just wonderful. It comes. It bubbles over. You can't cap it. It's a fountain. And it really is. And you know that. As we yield to the Spirit and the Spirit takes us on. Okay, going from verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Oh, see there, brother? Like, I've had that happen so many times. Isn't that something? Oh, my goodness. And they just won't take time to read the whole scripture with you, will they? They run. Well, I don't want to hear it like that. That's right. You don't want to hear it like that, do you? Because you don't want to hear rightfully divided word. All right? Likewise, also not was Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And this is so wonderful. Before we start getting a little bit more detail into this, think about who we just read about. We're talking about two huge, giant lawbreakers here. See, Abraham, a lot of people say, oh, no, he wasn't a lawbreaker. Well, yeah, he was a lawbreaker. He had two wives. It was against the law to have these two wives. And he had them. It was it. You know why he had them? He knew that God gave them to him. And a lot of people don't really understand. They say, well, wait a second. What was God doing in that? Let me show you. God was showing himself faithful in it. It wasn't God was going against himself. God was bringing out such wonderful truth from Sarah, Grace, and the bondwoman. Now, could he have shown it a different way? You know what? No, because the word is true. A lot of people say, well, that's God. He could have done a lot. He could have done a lot of things, but you know what? He's going to show forth his word. It's all in his word. His word is divine, and there is but one way, and that is his word. So there we have the two lawbreakers. We have the adulterer. And then we have Rahab the prostitute. And I just thank God for who he uses all throughout the Word of God. You know, if we ever really get real with this, God help us not to be pious. God help us not to act religious. And God just help us to be thankful for the grace of God who's brought this perfect, wonderful life into our hearts. Hallelujah, that we are righteous and holy. But see, the evidence of their faith was not due to the keeping of the law, because they couldn't keep it even if they tried. And I'm thankful to God that these two didn't try. That's the beautiful thing about them. They just received the grace of God. They went in there open-handed and said, Lord, it's got to be you. I know that I'm wretched. I know I don't know this way. That's what was so wonderful about Abraham. He didn't know anything about anything. God sent him here, there, and everywhere. But Abraham let God make his choice. Amen. Abraham never chose with his eyes. He let God make his choice. And that's what's so wonderful. He, even is in his bumbling and fumbling at certain times, God, he knew, was faithful. Praise be to God. And that caused these two, this grace, caused them to respond in love. And when we respond in love and apprehend the grace of God, good works are performed. They were in no way capable of performing these things, but the working of the love of God in them performed it. And that's what's so wonderful here. But then people will say, well, brother, it says here that Abraham was justified by works when he offered Isaac. I said, well, good, you can read that. Praise be to God, you're right. He was justified in the sight of men. Faith was made perfect at that moment. God provided his faithfulness in him at that moment when he willingly offered up his son, the promise, Isaac. But remember this, Abraham was made righteous unto salvation approximately 45 years before this time that he offered up Isaac. In Genesis 15:6, it said that Abraham believed God, or he believed the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So let's understand what he's talking about here. Isn't this wonderful? I mean, we know that Abraham is made righteous the same way we were. He looked to the blood. He had the blood applied. I love this, brother Abraham. He was always building an altar. He knew where to go. He knew where to go, and he believed God, and God said, you're righteous. Hallelujah. That's it. Praise be to God. The moment that Abraham... at that moment, Abraham would never be any more righteous before God his whole life. He was as righteous and holy as he was ever going to be. Just like the moment, brothers and sisters, when we accepted Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we were as holy and righteous. We couldn't be any more holy. We couldn't be any more righteous. Christ, we died and Christ's life came to live. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. Amen. I appreciated the other day at that breakfast, there was a man that came, and I don't know if he knew the Lord or if he gave his heart to the Lord at that table. It didn't really matter. He knows the Lord. He knows that it's the blood of Jesus. He's his personal Savior. Praise be to God. But it was wonderful to just, as all these kids were running around, and then the little baby, little teeny weeny ones come in there, and just to express to him, because there was something that religion had told him about, well, I got to strive to be more righteous. I have to strive to be more holy. And I said, well, wait a second. It said that, you know, when we have given our heart to God, when we've accepted that the blood, we're born of God. We're born of God. We're his child. I said, look at that child over there. Is that child any more human? And I pointed to one of the elderly saints over here, you know. And I said, than that person over here that's maybe been around 70, 80 years? And he kind of looked at me and says, I think I get this. I said, well, I hope you do. I said, no, that. And he said, no, that's just as human, never going to be any more human. Well, you're never going to be any more righteous or holy. That life is that life. It's his life. And praise the Lord, that's why we know it's grace. We know that it's grace. And in that life, and in settling into that, in that peace and that rest, now we can grow in grace. Because that's the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is grace. Understanding that he has given us everything. Understanding that at that moment we have been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. I've got the whole package, you do too. Praise the Lord. All of the potential is there to grow up into him in all things. All the potential is there to be presented as his bride. All the potential is there is to come out after you've been with the chamberlain for all that time, taking nothing, to have him look at you and say, what do you want? It's all yours. That's good stuff. This is what he wants. And this is what he is telling us. Now in verse 22, this does tell us what this is all about. Faith made perfect. This is speaking of the completion of the testimony in Abraham. That he was the full overcomer in Christ. And this testimony was magnified. The epitome of it came out. God allowed him to be that, in a sense, that representation of that full overcomer in Christ at the point where he could offer up not just his only son, but the very promise that God told him from the moment he called him. That's incredible faith. That's like the most holy faith that we're called with as well, too. It was the trying of his faith to the point of, Lord, this is everything we're talking about. Not just my son, not just the promise here that you told me from, but this was the promise of you, the covenant, that I'd be the father of many nations. This was it. But he counted God faithful, and he freely, freely was going to offer up that son because he knew that God was faithful to his word. Now what a testimony of perfect faith before man. Amen? Amen. See, his righteousness was dealt with way back when he believed God. Now let's keep going with this. His testimony was made known to all. His faith was made perfect. That word there means finished. His faith was made complete. His faith was made fully grown. Abraham was now ready to be offered. Praise the Lord. It's like Brother Paul. I'm ready. I'm ready. Praise be to God. And I love that what Brother Paul said, not to me only. He can bring that testimony in your life. He can bring that testimony in my life. It wasn't just something for yay long ago and that I just read about in a sense as the enemy likes to think, well, we'll just make it a storybook. This is his word. This is alive. This is the only living thing that there is. And he says, but to us also that love his appearing here. But praise be to God for the simplicity in this passage. His maturing faith grew Abraham from a child of God. And what does it say there? Into a friend. It was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. There's an emphasis there of being called into that companionship, that relationship that Abraham was called into there. He was a companion, a friend of God. The full overcomers in the Old Testament were the friends of God, just like Abraham, just like it says of Moses. He was a friend of the Lord. He could talk to the Lord face to face as a friend. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, and he was taken. But brothers and sisters, a better thing for us, a better thing, not just a close companion or friend, but a bride. An equal. Can you imagine that? Boy, that makes people just jump, doesn't it? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Growing up into him in all things. Isn't that wonderful? Did you say some, kind of like, whatever? No. His very image, from glory to glory. This is so absolutely awesome. Ruling and reigning jointly with Jesus Christ. Glorified together. You read about that there in Revelation where she's coming down, the glory, having the glory of God and her light. And then it goes on to talk about how she's the glory and he's the light. But it's all because of the glory of God in her. It's him. I was thinking how precious it was to, you know, we talk about it many times. And there was even a little commercial on TV. And I'm so thankful sometimes. Just you lock into the Lord and he'll speak to you in so many different ways. It's so wonderful. But, you know, we're talking about how all of the people, you know, you get a wedding in here. And here she comes and she's walking and everybody's just looking at her. But you know who she's looking at? She's looking at him. And she's not looking at anything else. Nobody else looking at him. But the bride sure is. Yeah, she wants to make sure he's still there. No, I'm just kidding. That was bad. All right. But you got to know that that's how it is. She's got her eyes on him so that he ain't moving. He never moves anyways. But she's just drawn to him. She's captivated by him. She loves him. And everybody else is there. They're happy as can be. But that doesn't even come close to what's going on between them two. Hallelujah. And then the Father oh, my goodness. Got to stay with this study. But I'll tell you, it just is absolutely awesome. But we praise the Lord because that same faith perfecting works is going on in us today. See, Paul called it specifically, or called them, pressed out of measure. Times of despairing of our own lives. But yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Philippians 3:8. How fabulous, how marvelous, and how wonderful. You guys keep pushing me and maybe complimenting all these things he's saying. Let me tell you something. Praise be to God. It wasn't me at all. It was just the grace of God that was with me, working in me. That's the love that God allowed me to receive to have all this work come out. But no matter what I lost, no matter what things I went through, it is but dung, but to win him. Man, that's good. But just as Abraham, brothers and sisters, in his perfecting was made known to all, he too is going to bring forth a bride that he is going to make known to all that he has loved her. Isn't that precious? See, we think about these glorious and magnificent stories, and God chose these vessels and he loved these vessels so much, and they received so much of the love of God, and in receiving the love, they grew in faith. And as we get into the Hall of Fame there in Faith Hall of Fame there in Hebrews, how it's by faith, by faith, by faith. Well, all of that faith came one way. That was because of love. In love, we trust the Lord. In love, we have confidence in God. And as we continue to allow that love to fill our hearts and to grow us up and to expand, we're going to have more faith to believe him. And not just believe, and it's precious, for healing, for finance, for marriage, for all of these different things. And God's going to try us with this, but it's believing the word of God. He's been just giving me so many scriptures and so much wonderful encouragement. It's not the trial, son. It's the word that's trying you. Do you believe my word? It is so absolutely awesome. Because there's so many different trials. Man, if I got focused on them, I'd lose myself in them. I'd get in despair. I'd go down under. But there's one word. Praise God. Believe me. Believe me, it is written. And this is where he's going at. So, but it's obvious, the meaning here. before man, in order for us to be justified, there must be an evidence of works. The love of God shines forth in the lives that divinely love him. It's not my work, it's not my power, it's not my might. It's by his Spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. See, we just know that's the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. And I was thinking of this too, about tongues. In 1 Corinthians 14:22, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. So think of that. And as the Lord was just encouraging my heart, see, our testimony is vital to believers and to non-believers. We encourage one another. God uses us to supply one another, and then God uses us as lights in the world. For those that want to see it, for those that just want to be wicked, you know, you're going to be provoked one way. It's either going to be to love or to hate. You know, Christ said they're going to hate you without a cause. Don't think that's strange. It's just going to happen. I remember when it hit me, it wasn't really me, all of it. But in high school with teachers, there were some teachers. There were some that really appreciated the hard work. There were some that, man, there wasn't anything I could do. There was just a hate. But I knew it wasn't that person. I knew it was just the spiritual wickedness and the principalities in high places. And I knew, as my mother, I'm so thankful, there's that wonderful sister in the Lord that would encourage me, my Bible teacher, my pastor. Well, honey, isn't it precious? You have an honor to suffer for his name. He's lifting up the hedge to let them take notice. Come here, Satan. I want you to see my servant. Huh? Praise the Lord. I always hear people praying, Lord, set that hedge around me. Don't you lift it up a bit? You know, how are you going to grow? Huh? Praise the Lord. That's the power. We got to pray one for another, don't we? But see, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Our testimony to both the believer and the unbeliever, brothers and sisters, it is vital. But how is the unbeliever ever going to see Christ in me if the love of God is not shed abroad in my heart and manifest the good works that he has before ordained for me? And just as the love of God shed abroad in our heart manifests itself with that precious love language to God, doesn't it? Isn't that the truth? That's the love of God shed abroad in our heart. That's why I encourage, as Brother Paul encouraged, I'm glad I speak more than ye all. Praise him. Be a vessel of praise. Let me tell you something. There's power in that too. It's not that we rely on that. It's just precious to be a vessel that the Holy Spirit is just uttering through to, you know, I'm tired often. I don't know about you. I'm at a loss for words often. Despairing of my life, but yet there's a joy in my heart. Oh, new man's got to take that one on. So you know what, Lord? I just want to detach anything up here and just let you go at it. And thanks be to God we can be used like that. Hallelujah. So we'll wrap it up here. Verse 26. It emphasizes the importance of the evidence, brothers and sisters, really of, I believe, the fiery cherubim saint. Remember them cherubims? They're like coals and flames of fire. So let's read this. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, mind, body, your natural body, without blood flowing through it, without, you know, oxygen coming in and out of these lungs, I mean, we're dead. My body without, and your body without accepting Christ Jesus, or, you know, my heart, soul, whatever you want to say there, but without it, you're dead. You're just a walking corpse. Yeah, you should feel sorry for people that don't know the Lord. They might seem happy for a moment and a lot of things, but you can be deceived in a lot of ways. But let me tell you something. There's only one life, and that's in Christ. But then it's not just life, but it's the life of faith, brothers and sisters, when Christ Jesus comes in, isn't it? It's abounding faith. It's abundant life that he wants us to have. And it's faith which not only makes me alive unto God, but it's faith that makes me a testimony unto men. Yeah, you know, those times when people have said, how are you like that? How can you be peaceful in a time like this? Why aren't you flipping out or freaking out or whatever it is that this has happened? And honestly, I say, you know, I don't really know in a way. You should have saw me maybe 5 minutes ago, but a peace which passes all understanding has just come in here to rule and reign. And I know that God's on the throne and he's got it. So that's the testimony that's alive unto men. And maybe I can make up to how I kind of got into that hole earlier on. But I've said it many times. When I fell in love with my wife, everybody knew it. And it wasn't just my speech. It was far more even my actions. And the greatest of all those actions was I didn't want to be with anybody else. And now, praise be to God, we no longer, because of this love, want to be around anybody else but him, his head and his body. Okay? You see that? That's the wonderful test. We don't tolerate one another. That's not a marriage. You want me to say that again? We don't tolerate one another. That's not a marriage. Now, marriage does have times of enduring. But, you know, when we really see the love in one another, we settle down and rejoice. And rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We have put away childish things. And why do you finally put away childish things? Because you fall in love. And this is the faith that worketh by love. And I pray that the Lord has, I don't know, just given us a little bit more insight into the glorious light of James. And doesn't end here. Just kind of starts beginning even more. So praise the Lord. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.